today as signified and symbolized by the rose-colored candle that's burning on the Advent wreath and the rose-colored vestments that the ministers at the altar wear. It's a reminder that it is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete from the Latin word to rejoice, as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Philippi, to rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And why exactly are we rejoicing? As the opening prayer says, we're asking the Lord to enable us to attain the joys of so great a salvation. And this is why we rejoice in our salvation from sin and our rebirth in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to celebrate with solemn worship and glad rejoicing our new life in Christ. Thus, as Zephaniah says, we shout for joy and sing joyfully. We cry out with joy to the Lord, as the psalm says, for Christ has come with salvation. What exactly is joy? And what is joy as opposed to sadness? And we look at the sorry situation of so many things in the world today, we can ask ourselves this very honest question: what exactly do we have to be joyful about? To begin with, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul outlines in his letter to the Galatians. All of us, through baptism and confirmation, have received gifts from the Holy Spirit, but joy is a fruit that comes from those gifts. It's cultivated by our participation in the life of Christ. Remember that at baptism, we were changed. We were given a great installment of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. And throughout our lives, every time we turn from sin and pursue a life of prayer and sanctification, our lives become more configured, more like that of Christ. It's our participation in the life of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. In that, as we come to know God more closely, as we begin to love Him more faithfully and serve Him, we begin to see things in a clearer light. In other words, by the power of the Spirit, we can see things with the eyes of Christ, and of course, we can understand things in the light of grace. With this understanding, it helps us to see God's will in all things. So joy comes from knowing that all things, whether good or not quite so good, all things work together for the good, and that God is with us in the midst of everything. We think about the lives of the saints, those martyrs who died very joyfully, going to their deaths, as horrible as it was, because they realized that Christ Himself was their guide, their shield, their protector, their strength, and that they had eternal life with Him. Even the saints themselves sometimes underwent terrible persecutions or mistreatment from others, or some died from very terrible diseases, but did so joyfully. Why? All these things were offered to God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Their lives became a sacrifice. All these things working together for the good. And in the midst of all things, good or bad, or seemingly bad, God is with us always. Our faith then guides us through all these things, and it strengthens our hope. So joy then becomes the natural result of peace. St. Augustine describes peace as the serenity or the tranquility that comes from order, when all things are done as they should be, as Christ tells us, to turn from sin and to pursue good, to love God with our whole being, love our neighbors as ourselves. When we do things that way, then all things are in order and we find ourselves at peace. When things are not in order, when we don't put God first, when we put ourselves before other people, we become exclusively selfish, then on the inside, interiorly, we begin to feel somewhat uneasy. We feel disturbed, agitated. And you see this in the world today, as people refuse to pray, as people refuse to worship, as people begin to distance themselves and even divorce themselves from God, we see more of a need to have a fulfillment by material things. We need to feel, if we have this need to turn to psychics or psychiatrists or everybody else, anything else other than prayer, to try to ease what's going on in the inside. Well, when God and our love for Him is not the foundation for everything that we do and everything we are, we can expect to be agitated and disturbed. But if God is the reason that we do all things, if our love for Him is that foundation for everything and we do and everything we are, then we find a different mentality, a different feeling, if you would, in the soul. After our love for God must come our love for others. That's what St. John the Baptist talked about in the Gospel. People asking, what should we do? Share what you have with those who have not. Treat people with respect and honestly. Don't practice extortion against anyone. Be satisfied with what you have. All these things will recall to a life of humility and simplicity and love for other people. These things bring good to the soul. If we love others more than ourselves, and we have a will to do good, and a will to be good, a will to pursue holiness, and a will to be holy, then that desire and will draws itself into a faithful union with Christ. And that, above all, is what the soul longs for, to be united with Christ forever. That's our goal in heaven. But it begins here and now, with baptism, as I mentioned, and our union with Christ here to become more like Christ, that we can be with him forever. Our union with Christ here is found in our prayer, daily prayer, speaking heart to heart with the Lord, meditating on the words of the gospel, reception of the sacraments. Notice how if we neglect these things, if we neglect prayer, if we neglect Mass, if we neglect the sacraments, and we don't tend to the soul, if we don't tend to the interior life of the soul, then we're going to remain uneasy, become harsh and demanding, unhappy and disconnected, as we see in the world today. A very uneasy and harsh world, everybody demanding things of everybody else, total selfishness along with unhappiness and discontent. People think, if I can pursue a selfish pleasure, then I'm going to be happy. Kind of like a dog that chases its tail and never catches it, so we find people in the world. Anything other than God, they pursue and they find themselves more and more miserable. If we do that, if we pursue these selfish pleasures, then we might be happy for a moment, and the devil tempts us to that. Do this, do that, you will be happy. Well, then we notice that once the sin is committed, that happiness is short-lived. There's nothing but pain and misery following that. Keep in mind, there is no joy, there is no peace from anyone or anything outside of God or the soul. Guaranteed. There is no joy, there is no peace from anyone or anything outside of God, outside the soul. The soul that is at peace with God, the soul that's at peace with God, the soul that is free from sin and seeking divine union with God, will need nothing else for joy. The soul that is at peace with God, the soul that is free from sin, and the soul that seeks nothing else but divine union with Christ the Savior will need nothing else for joy. God alone becomes that joy, as I mentioned, so beautifully illustrated in the lives of the saints. And so St. Paul continues, the Lord is near. He is with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. Therefore, have no anxiety, have no worry at all, but in everything, in your prayer and your petition, with gratitude and thanksgiving, make all requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have no worry, no anxiety. In everything, by prayer and petition, with gratitude and thanksgiving, make everything known to God. Give everything to him, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Christ is the just judge. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, burn away the chaff, but always help us to produce good fruit, that fruit of joy. As the church grapples with the effects of the poison of the sins of some of her priests and bishops, as our nation grapples with divisiveness, with hatred, and a mean-spiritedness as people have toward anyone or anything that is not like themselves or what they desire for themselves, as the world in which we live rejects anything and everything that is of God or the supernatural, or worse, as our world begins to run away from the message of the gospel, run away from the cross, and instead embracing paganism, atheism, and even adoration of the devil, as mankind stupidly, like sheep, following the wayward of the flock to their own peril and destruction, find themselves in a very, very dark place, we as Christians, in the light of Christ, can rejoice. We rejoice at our salvation, and we pray for those who are in need of salvation. Give good example by word and deed, and show that there is a more excellent way. Don't follow the maddening crowd into that valley of death. Instead, follow him who is the good shepherd, the just judge. Always follow the one who reconciles all things in himself. We know that apart from Christ, nothing has worth, nothing has value, nothing brings joy apart from him. But his love, his mercy, his grace, his truth, his life, these things bring joy inexpressible. And he is near. He is with us. Therefore, cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel.